Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, October 3rd. I'm Ray Graff. The cooler weather is coming, but does that mean we need to stop firing up the grill? Spoiler alert, the answer is no. Today we host our second Food Friday Barbecue Summit. Joining us once again is Bill Fletcher, owner and pitmaster of Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, and Russell Mattson, creator of fine Southern barbecue at the Meadows Golf Center and All-American Barbecue in Margaretville, New York. We'll talk about different styles, we'll take your calls, and we'll try some barbecue. 800-348-2551 is the number. I think the engineer, Mike Bone, is about to jump through the glass. Oh, yeah. 800-348-2551. Email your barbecue question to voxpop@wamc.org. We'll get underway after the news. Boy, do I love barbecue. Holy mackerel. Welcome back to Food Friday. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the show, it's our Barbecue Summit Part 2. Russell Mattson and Bill Fletcher join us. Bill is the owner and pitmaster of Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. He says fire and cooking are his happy place. And, you know, he's happy. He's doing quite well. He opened his first restaurant, Brooklyn Barbecue, in 2012. In 2023, the universe brought him to Massachusetts. Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse features two full-ton barbecue pits made in Texas. Russell Mattson has been creating award-winning Southern barbecue at the Meadows Golf Center and All-American Barbecue in Margaretville for 25 years. He and his wife, Julie, travel far and wide doing barbecue research, as it were. And his wood-fired Southern barbecue is right in the heart of the Catskills. It's really, really good. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, if you have a barbecue question for these two. 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Russell Mattson, how you doing, man? Golf has got to be about done, right?
No, not at all. I mean, we've got a PTO-driven leaf blower that keeps our fairways clean, and so
it's going to get cold soon, right? It'll be 80 this week, but next week.
No, come on, this is the finest time to golf of the season, actually, except for what's coming up behind it. I mean, yeah, nobody wants to golf in the snow, but
do you stay open and do barbecue in the off season?
Actually, no. We need to do our regional research come November, and so we'll be traveling to the Southwest. I'll be working to try to bring a little bit of that Southwestern flavor back to the Meadows Golf Center All-American Barbecue for next year. So
nice.
A little Sonoran influence, you know, perhaps some green and red peppers, you know, some Tex-Mex, et cetera.
Well, we're going to get to the Southern sauces that you have with this incredible pork that I've already tried.
So you're not just saying that our barbecue here is good. We've actually brought it in for you.
I ate it. I've been eating it. We'll get to that in a minute, some of the vinegar-based sauces. Bill Fletcher, how you doing? And you got a big event coming up, huh?
Yeah, we're doing great. We're getting ready for our first, calling it the Fletcher's Fall Festival out in Longmeadow, Mass.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
What goes on?
The centerpiece for me, at least, is we're doing a whole hog. So that's always a fun, get the laying out, and which is a kind of smoker.
I've only been at a couple weddings where that has happened. Is that tough to do?
Yeah, I would say it is. Definitely you have to have some experience to do that one. It's going to be a 100-pound hog. That will take, you know, 12, 13 hours probably. So I'll be out there starting at midnight, getting ready for lunch the next day.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
What's on the menu?
We got whole hog. We're going to treat that a couple different ways, like classic Southern with a vinegar barbecue sauce like we were talking about earlier. We're going to do a Vietnamese style.
Interesting.
Oh, it's so good.
Now, what is that?
So it's going to be with a sweet ginger soy, and then we have daikon, radish, and jalapenos and cucumber. Cabbage. Put that on a tortilla. Really delicious.
Really.
And then we're going for like a Hawaiian luau style which will have pineapple rings and like a sweet soy.
Well, not everybody's going to go for that. So what else is on the menu?
We got loaded potatoes. We got grilled wings. We got a Santa Maria style tri-tip sandwich.
Now, when you say fall festival, I mean, does that imply entertainment or is that just you go and you eat until you can't walk?
Well, that's the hope. But yeah, we got bounce houses for the kids and face painting lined up and live music and beer, wine, Oktoberfest brews. It's going to be great.
So how do people find out about that, Bill, before we get going with the topic at hand here?
Yep, right on the website, www.fletchersbbqshop.com.
All right, let's talk about barbecue, and let's start with this pork that Russell brought in. You brought three different sauces. Tell us about the meat first, how you did this. It's got a beautiful black crust on it. Explain how you do this.
Well, it's a Boston butt. It's a portion of the pork shoulder, bone-in Boston butt, to be exact. It's a fairly inexpensive cut of meat. And what you do is you find yourself, I dry rub mine with, our proprietary mix. But, I mean, in general, I think if you start with equal parts of black pepper, paprika, and brown sugar, and then you could add whatever you might find interesting.
Now, you have sauces here, but you dry rub because you're going to add the sauces later, basically?
I don't add sauces. Sauces go on the side. I
mean, always.
I would say, yeah, in my style,
yeah.
I don't put sauce on ribs. I don't put sauce onto brisket. My sauces are on the side. I think that the meat kind of stands on its own. Now, pork shoulder is cooked in our wood fired pit, so basically it's cooked with hot smoke.
For how long?
Well, I typically start them at about 6 p.m. or so. I'll run them at what I consider full temperature, a little over 200 degrees, for about 4 or 5 hours until I'm ready to go to sleep, and then I'll bank my fire.
What do you mean by that?
Well, by banking my fire, that just gives me the opportunity to actually gain useful sleep. I mean, I used to just stay up all night and feed logs.
But what is banking the fire? I mean,
well, what we want to do is we want to try to preserve that fire and its pile of coals, and to try to maintain temperature as best as we can throughout the night. Now, what we're doing is I'll load my firebox just chock full of hardwood, and then I'll basically cut down or cut off the air supply to that fire. And so what you end up with is a very slow smoldering fire that smokes quite a bit and ends up with just a huge batch of embers that I'll find at about 5:30 in the morning the next day.
And then you restoke it at that point?
And then I bring it back up again. I'll add air and add wood to bring it back up to temperature.
Let me ask you guys a question, and I'll ask Bill too. Temperature being so important when you're doing some of these slow and low kind of things, for those cooking at home, and my wife and I, since the last time you guys have been on, we've been saying, good Lord, we got to make burnt ends. And every time you look, it says, well, you got to get a 30-pound brisket and then do that for 18 hours, and then you start the burnt ends. But how does one, with a charcoal grill, maintain the right temperature for that long? I mean, that's the tricky part.
It is a tricky part, and it's not easy with a charcoal grill, just like a regular kettle, but you can do it.
What do you think, the snake?
Exactly what I was going to talk about. The snake method is probably your best bet, which is where you're basically lining up briquettes of charcoal and this kind of long snake going around the perimeter of your charcoal grill, and then you get a little fire going at the end, and over time, it's going to light like the next coal as it goes down the line.
So you're lighting one.
You have to start
one
a little bit
two.
Of a fire, like a couple.
You have a little pile.
Yeah. And then as you're doing that, you have your meat on the far opposite side of it. And so you're monitoring it, and you peek in every once in a while, not very often, because you want to keep that temperature.
Yeah.
And then you're sort of slowly always moving the meat kind of away from where the fire has been trailing.
Oh, interesting.
And then critical is to keep your vent of the top of your lid of your grill over your meat, because what that's going to do is going to draw your smoke through.
And you want to open the vent.
And you have the vent open, yeah.
Interesting. You guys use wood, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, wood-burning pit. Yeah, it's just a big old log burner. So.
And what's the wood of choice for you guys?
I use sugar maple and red oak.
Why?
It's just a really nice combination. I mean, I think we cook all proteins in there, so it's a nice mix that doesn't go too heavy.
Yeah.
Like, I find hickory a bit intense, especially if you got, like, chicken or fish going.
Flavor-wise or temperature-wise?
Flavor-wise and smoke-wise. Like, it can start to the worst thing is when you eat barbecue and you feel like you ate a campfire.
Yeah.
You know, you want the smoke just to be an ingredient and the flavor not to dominate it.
And wouldn't you say that that regionalization is really about the wood that you have available?
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's funny. It's, like, folks in Florida, like, how are they barbecuing down there?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, what are you going to import? You know, you're going to import hickory. You're going to import. I mean, I guess, you know, when you're at home, you buy, you know, pellets, and you'll say, okay, I'm going to buy these pellets. I'm going to buy those pellets. Fine. But, you know, for me, I'm thinking, look, you know, Catskill Barbecue is about, you know, it's about maple. It's about oak. It's about whatever hardwoods we have available. You know, people down in Texas burn post oak and mesquite because that's what's available.
Yeah,
and so I think that that's a part of the nuance of, you know, eating barbecue and cooking it regionally.
It is a barbecue summit today with Russell Mattson and Bill Fletcher. I want to get back, Russell, to the sauces you brought for this pork before we get to what Bill brought. Let's take a break first, though. You have a barbecue question, give us a call, 800-348-2551. Or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. J.C. Styles on the guitar there. We are doing barbecue today on the show with Bill Fletcher from Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse in Longmeadow, Mass., and Russell Mattson from the Meadows Golf Center at All American Barbecue in lovely Margaretville, New York. All right, back to the pork shoulder, Russell. Beautifully cooked, tender, it just falls right off, fantastic. You made three sauces, and you said two are vinegar-based. Now, I tried the mustard, and I tried the vinegar-based, not red sauce, but reddish. What do you have here? Explain.
Well, you know, I guess, again, you know, pork shoulder is kind of a southeastern barbecue. Often Carolinas, Georgia, et cetera. Pork-based barbecue, and if you go to the coastal Carolina, you'll often find that they'll be using a sauce that's primarily vinegar. Now, you know, my vinegar sauce has just a slightly diluted apple cider vinegar, red pepper flakes, a little bit of sweetener, a little bit of salt, and that's about it.
It's not overbearing. Garlic. It's just... It's got great character. That's the way I would describe it.
Yeah, well, somehow I think it just goes really well with pork as well. I mean, it kind of cuts whatever kind of fatty influence you might have from the pork itself. Now, you know, I think most people look at barbecue and say, hey, you know, barbecue sauce. You know, it's this red stuff that you get in a jar. It's kind of goopy.
Right?
And that's correct. I mean, you'll often find molasses as an ingredient, as a sweetener or whatever, and that's all fine. But, you know, my barbecue sauces, I tend to borrow from, you know, those Carolinas where, you know, you might have a mustard-based sauce, which, you know, might be more kind of South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, like that. Actually, I'd like to find my way down to Alabama. My understanding is that there is a white barbecue sauce that's often used with chicken.
That's what we do at the
restaurant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell us about that, Bill.
Yeah, white barbecue sauce. It's awesome.
You know, mayo, heavy on the vinegar.
It's a mayo-based sauce with a lot of vinegar.
Wow.
And we had chilies and scallions and some dill to it. And then we used our half-smoked chickens. We just pour it right over it.
Wow.
It's so good.
Well, it doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
Maybe on Barbecue Summit 3, we'll try some of that.
All right.
All right,
there
so you have a mustard here, Russell,
that
is got a good vinegar base, and this one, the reddish one that I tried.
Well, that one is just it's a little
Carolina.
Reddish because of red pepper flakes in there that kind of give it a little jolt.
It's fantastic.
And then
my
traditional what I refer to as Mountain Meadow Red is just a, I guess you would consider that to be a Lexington, North Carolina based sauce. It's a tomato based sauce based on tomato juice, vinegar, ketchup.
So. North Carolina's tomato-based, South Carolina's vinegar-based.
Mustard-based or vinegar-based, depending on whether you're closer to the coast.
Battles over this?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I mean, everybody thinks that they know what theirs is best, and I'm just like, well, I'm all-American barbecue, so I just borrow from everybody.
That's beautiful. Now, what do they do in Texas? What's standard?
You don't ask for sauce.
Yeah.
No Never.
Sauce.
Don't do it.
Never.
They'll ask you what's wrong with the meat. It's often that way. You know, they might have some sauces out there, you know, for the tourists, but it's like they're going to kind of, they might look at you funny.
Okay. Well, we don't want that.
So you ask for the pickled onions.
Now, Bill Fletcher, listen, You know I salivate over the burnt ends over and over again. And so you brought a lot of these. And these are, don't eat them all, Russell. This is Thai?
Szechuan glaze.
Szechuan glaze. Yeah. It is one of the most amazing glazes. Is this only for this sort of thing, or can you put it on another kind of meat?
We make it ourselves every day in the restaurant, and it really shines when you caramelize it.
Yeah.
So it's not really a sauce that you pour on top of something. You sort of caramelize it in a pan. And that's what these burnt ends are. So these are, we take brisket and cut them up into sort of big cubes. And then in a saute pan, we caramelize them in this sauce.
And you know, this is obviously, our ultimate goal is to make our own burnt ends. And you said in the break, well, first you got to master brisket, which is really tough. Why is it tough?
It's one of the hardest ones.
Because it's hard to make master. Tender.
It's hard to make it tender. It takes forever to cook it. You have to manage your fire for, 16, 18 hours. And there are all these different patterns and different pockets of meat. You have to trim it correctly. You don't want too much fat in there.
But, you got to have some.
What's good flavor? But, we take off. If I'm starting with a 18-pound brisket, I'm going to take off probably 2 pounds of fat before I even cook it. And I'll take
at least
that fat and put it, we save it and put it in our burgers, for ground. We do house ground burgers.
Right.
But if you don't trim it correctly, it's not going to cook correctly.
All right. So you start with the brisket and you cook it for 18 hours and then you're taking the points. What do you call it?
So traditionally, there's the point of the deckle, which is the fattier part of a brisket. And traditionally, burnt ends are you take that deckle off after you've cooked it and you throw them back in the smoker for another 4 or 5 hours. And then you can cut those up into chunks and serve them just as is. And they are melt in your mouth. They're
but
amazing.
You glaze them and then you...
This version on our menu now is a glazed burnt end. And we actually use the whole brisket. We don't just use the deckle for it.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. Have you ever been on Barbecue Pitmasters? I think you guys would be amazing on that show.
It would be fun.
No?
Well, I've found, and again, I guess Barbecue Pitmasters are mostly restaurateurs, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that on this thing called TV, right?
You don't have a TV down there.
Oh, I had one, but I haven't seen one. Like what, moving pictures, sound?
Oh, yeah.
No, time for that.
Okay,
so
man.
I've heard of said show, because that's why I wasn't sure if it was restaurateurs or whether it was competitors.
No, it is. It's restaurant. Oh, competitors too, I think. And by the way, is there money in the competition? Can you
Absolutely,
make money
yeah.
doing that?
That's where I started. I never won any good money.
No.
but some of these guys travel around. There might be, $10,000 purses for first place.
Yeah. Oh. Bill Fletcher is here from Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse. Russell Mattson is here from the Meadows Golf Center and All American Barbecue. Let's grab a call. 800-348-2551. Ooh. Steve, you're on.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Really, 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 really well.
I actually have been to the barbecue to the Meadows golf course and had your barbecue.
Get out! Cool.
It was really good. But the reason I'm calling is because I am making barbecue as we speak.
Cool.
I bought a butt down in Boysville, and I have a slow cooker recipe, but I put the sauces on the side like you guys do it.
Yep.
But I have a quick funny story is. I grew up with my grandparents, and they're from North Carolina. And my grandmother would make us barbecue sandwiches on burger buns. Like, I don't know how you guys serve it, but.
We sell it by the pound. Put it on a bun, yeah, however you want it.
Yeah, so it was a memory from my past. I'm 70 now. So it was a memory from my past, and I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, I said, I'm going to see if I can make some of that stuff. And I was making it, and I gave some to my mother, and I said, Mom, doesn't this taste just like Grandma's? And she goes, yeah, it kind of does. And I said, she used to make that stuff so good. And my mother said to me, she never made that. Her friends used to bring it up from North Carolina.
Ah, there you go.
but yes, it's all about the sauces. I make both. My mother likes the one with the ketchup. And I like the vinegar one with the red peppers, with the pepper flakes and stuff.
Yeah. Well, Russell nailed that. I'll tell you one thing. He really did on this. This is some good sauce. And the pork shoulder is amazing. What are you making now, Steve?
Right now I'm making the pork butt. It's a slow cooker with I mean, I'm sorry, a crock pot.
A crock pot.
Vinegar and molasses.
So you're gonna, are you going to add hickory smoke or something like that to try to give you a little nuance there?
I don't, because it's all the meat is, you know, it comes out and it's so good you can just eat it right out of the, you know, once you separate it.
Oh yeah.
You know, with the forks.
Yeah.
You could sit there and just eat that meat.
Yummy.
But then you put it on a hamburger bun and you put some coleslaw on top.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Now
hey, we'll see you Saturday, huh? Come on.
A point of nomenclature here. Is it barbecue if he's doing it in a crock pot?
It's good. If it's good, it's all that matters, right?
Of course it's good.
Pork and fat, probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you also brought, Bill, some beautiful pimento cheese and some sliced sausage on just good old-fashioned saltines, which I completely respect. Talk us through this one.
Well, it's funny because when we opened up in Longmeadow, they were a little confused on this one, I think. You know, where's the crostini or where's like the nice cracker?
Yeah.
But it's got to be in a saltine.
It has to be.
Yeah. So we make our own pimento cheese, which is roasted pepper and a couple cheeses and spices and some pickle juice. And then we put it on a saltine cracker and top it with a spicy pork sausage called a hot link.
Bill, do you have some kind of cuisine background? I mean, I was under the impression that you did not, and I'm like, dag, dude, it's like, you know, stuff you're bringing in here, it's like, you know, you're some kind of, like, I went to the CIA for 2 years or something like that.
No.
Not Central Intelligence, the Culinary Institute.
Right.
Because, dude, I mean, I'm like, this is, like, top-notch stuff here. I'm just an old school, you know, make some barbecue guy, but you throw some stuff together.
Well, I tell you what, you both have skills. The number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a barbecue question for our pros here, and boy, I love soaking up the knowledge and eating some good stuff. WAMC is our website where you can make a secure online pledge in our lockbox. It's going so well. Thanks to everybody who put something in already. It'll be open all weekend, and then we start the fun drive on Monday morning. The email address for this program is voxpop@wamc.org. The sausage on these, this pimento cheese cracker, what is this?
So we take like a traditional hot Italian sausage and smoke it.
For how long?
Not too long, because you want it kind of crisp just to get a hint of that smoke, you know, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's a fun, we did that when we opened in Brooklyn back in 2012. That was kind of our Brooklyn take on it. Take like a Italian sausage, local Italian sausage, and smoke it.
Do you make any sausages at the?
We haven't gotten into it yet. I would love to. It's just one of those things where you got to have the time to go into it.
How about you, Russell?
Oh, I want to make links so bad. I mean, that's one of the things down at a good Texas barbecue.
Why don't you do it?
Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you can hire me. I'll come down and work for you.
Don't tempt me.
No, it's all right. You know what? I like to sit on the couch in non-work hours and in work hours. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go back to the wood topic for a moment. One of you guys mentioned wood pellets. Explain to me how this works. I'm perpetually shopping for smokers and grills and everything else. And I see these ones that they're automatic. They're like these smokers, and you plug them into the wall, and you put pellets in, and it keeps the temperature constant and the smoke constant. I know you guys are in the big league and you got a 2-ton barbecue pit, but have you used any of these commercial grade?
So many people do use them, especially at home. They're like great for backyards.
Yeah.
I personally, like, what I love about barbecue is managing a fire. I like the romantic side of that.
Yeah.
Actually getting out there in the morning and starting to fire up and then.
How romantic is it when it's 12 below?
It's lovely. You're getting warm by the fire, you know. I like smelling like fire. I like cooking with fire. But the pellets are very easy, which is great. If all you want to do is just have good barbecue at home, like, that's a very great way to go.
Do they have the wood character? You guys mentioned the different kinds of wood. Can you get that from a preformed wood pellet?
Oh, I'm sure you can. I mean, I've competed against guys with pellets, those at KCBS competitions, and heck, they're all just snoozing away in their RVs while I'm out there trying to tend to my fire. And shoot, I mean, those guys, you know, believe me, you can, you know, I mean, what's the hardest part about barbecue? It's time and temperature.
So in other words, if I had unlimited money, I could buy one of these. They're probably hundreds of dollars. I could buy one of these and plug it in, and I could make great barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're all that expensive. They're accessible, and you can make great barbecue because you just set the temperature, you set it and forget it, and it'll just keep, you know, shoveling those pellets in as needed.
What
it'll
a great
adjust
concept.
Its air, and so now you just you need to have the patience, and I think a lot of people fall short in that they just don't want to take the time to do it right.
Well, for instance, these burnt ends, you're talking 16 hours on the brisket and then another 4 on the ends, right?
That's, yeah,
that's
for classic
burnt ends. Whole day.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, you talk about like the love of it and the fire. I remember when we first moved to Long Meadow, I had to find a new team and nobody knew about barbecue, so we're training them. And at one point I come in and the fire is just terrible. There's no coals in there. So I go, all right, we got to like fix this. And one of my guys says, well, there's a blowtorch over here. Why don't you just use that? And my response was, there's no love in a blowtorch. Like, let's get down on our knees, build a little kindling, like get this fire going the right way.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Barbecue Today with Bill Fletcher of Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, and Russell Mattson from Meadows Golf Center and All American Barbecue. Now, Russell, you're only open on the weekends over there?
Right now, post-Labor Day, we lost enough crew, and, you know, we don't have a lot of second homeowner, transient population coming up, whatever, to
make
support,
it worth it, yeah.
Going during the week, because, of course, you know, I'm not just a golf and barbecue entrepreneur. I'm also I'm an IT geek. You know?
Have to stop that. You have to be barbecue all the time, right?
That's yeah.
Would absolutely. It pay the bills?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we just need a few. You just need a few more of you folks out there to stop by and pick up a few more pounds of brisket, and maybe I could quit my IT career.
All right, fine. Let's go to Milford, Pennsylvania. Keith, you're on with our crew here.
Ooh, lots of phones.
Hello, Ray. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
I wanted to tell the story. I lived in Texas. I moved down from New York. 1977. And so, of course, you know, my being a Yankee, watching people barbecue, they said, oh, you don't know anything about it. Okay. So the first job you get is burning the mesquite wood down in the coals. And with the barbecue pit, the coals never go under the meat. You just let the smoke go by it like you guys do. But so I learned how to make barbecue, but I never did the dry rub. When I came back to New York, I used to do it for my friends. With a gas barbecue, you can buy a box and you put the right chips in, whatever your choice is, and let that smoke on a low heat. But it does take all day.
Yeah.
And you know, the reality is that there's, you know, a lot of the commercial barbecue kitchens, they have smokers that essentially recreate that same thing. So there's a gas fire going, and they put logs on it next to that, and that is what's catching them in fire.
Ah.
But it's really, you know, at home, like if you got a little gas grill, you do the exact same thing.
Interesting. All right, Keith. Well, thank you for that. What are you cooking
all
these
right,
days?
Well, have a good day, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. You know, you can buy these chips. Again, we're charcoal at my house. You could buy these wood chips of different variety, cherry wood or whatever. Never quite figured out the proper way to use them. I mean, I'll throw them on the briquettes, and it'll smoke like hell for a while, and then they're gone. That's gone. It doesn't really smoke it. It'll give you that effect that you spoke of, but you don't want it to smell like a charcoal pit when you eat it. You can't overdo it with that.
You can overdo it, yeah. I mean, one way to help it so it doesn't ignite and just disappear completely is to soak those chips in water for 30 minutes or so. That'll help so it's not going to, like, just all disappear immediately. You want a little length on it. But the reality is if you're using little chips, you're going to have to maintain, you know, add a few more every once in a while.
You know, a dry rub, talking about what the guy just said on the phone from Milford, Pennsylvania, we bought some every, I don't know, 6 months. I'll do an order. I'll get Omaha steaks, and we'll get some nice filet mignons and whatever. And it comes with this rub. It's just basically salt and pepper and, I don't know, a couple other things. I got to tell you, man, it. Oftentimes, if we did a London broil, we would marinate it because it just needs it. But something like that, the dry rub is just so flavorful, and it gets so far into the steak, and I don't understand. If you're just adding it maybe an hour before, how it's going to penetrate and get into the steak.
Salt will. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tend to salt my steaks several hours beforehand, even overnight. I've done it.
What's your favorite cut?
Good choice. You know, I just, I mean, I've always said I'm a porterhouse guy, but...
That's a big steak.
Yeah, and, but last time, I'll tell you, for my men's league, we had, I bought a ribeye, a primal, and sliced it myself. And son of a gun, that ribeye was...
Nailed
just,
it.
Man, it was
medium?
Medium rare.
All right.
Come on now.
Okay, well, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's barbecue today. We'll get back to the phones in a moment. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday with Ray Graff, and this is our last one before the Fun Drive. Fun Drive begins Monday morning at 6 a.m. I think we're at about $606,000 in the lockbox. If you've made a pledge, thank you. There's still time. It'll be open all weekend. You can go to WAMC.org. It's a secure online pledge. This is a great way to lead into the Fun Drive for me, having a show like this. It's just tremendous. Let's go to... Well, that's a weird one. Let's go to Rhinebeck. Charlene, you're on. Hello? That's not a good start. Are you there? Charlene.
Hello?
You're on. Go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's fine. Okay.
So I have a question. I have a Weber grill, and a little animal must have gone into that grill and... made a nest, a very furry nest, and I can't use it. Is it salvageable? I've had a hard time getting somebody to come to try to clean it, and I want to know, can it be cleaned, and how could I go about finding the right person?
All right, Russell is going to explain.
Well, I think so, because...
Thank you.
Well, first off, I mean, what the heck? You put a good charcoal fire in there, that rascal's going to get up to 800 degrees and... Doggone it. Heck, you could probably do surgery in there after
800
that.
800 degrees?
At least. You could really crank it. Now, but with that said, I mean, to clean, I actually went to, and I guess I'll just say Harbor Freight, and picked up a very inexpensive grinder.
Don't say the prices.
No, I will not.
Okay.
But I picked up their least expensive AC grinder and bought a wire wheel to install on that thing, and you can use that wire wheel and that grinder to polish down, you know, those grills if you want to grind those things down. That's what I use to clean off all the grease and stuff in my cooker.
But you're right, though. The heat will take care of most of that.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, that's the easy way to do it. Just get a fire going. I mean, make sure there's no critters in there. We don't need to burn them.
But
nest will just go away, and it's going to sanitize itself.
Right. But how would I get somebody to come do that for me
if I don't want to do that? I don't know.
Well, that's the question.
Rhinebeck's a little bit too far for me.
We can't really do that kind of business on the show, but maybe you can find a handyman to do it for you. Maybe you could get a neighbor and say, you know what, I'm going to grill you a steak if you can clean this thing out.
All I'm saying to do is just use the grill like you normally do. Just light it on fire. Just like get it normal.
Yeah, and it should take care of itself. Mm-hmm. Charlene, thanks a lot for that. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop. It's a Food Friday. Barbecue Summit 2 with Russell Mattson at Bill Fletcher. And we'll go to Richard and Rensselaer. Richard.
Yes. I'd like to know if there'd be any good flavor if you used any of these woods separately. Elm, black locust, or apple?
Elm, black locust, or apple? Well, we know apple wood is good.
Apple will be great. Apple is really classic, especially around this region. So that will be like a pretty light smoke. Elm and black locust are two I have never cooked with. Have you?
No, I haven't. But frankly, maybe I just don't have as many taste buds as the average person.
You can't tell the difference?
I think we go side by side with a couple racks of ribs and say this was cooked on A and this was cooked on B, and I defy anybody to tell me which cooked on what. Now, with that said, I can smell in the smoke.
Yeah.
If you're burning fruit wood, I can definitely smell that.
But if you're smoking things, don't you think then you'd get it?
But I think that the taste difference is very subtle. Now, you know, I'd imagine if you're burning pine, you might get a kind of a little nuance of creosote, which
would
be a little bit
disturbing.
That would be bad.
Yeah, that would not be.
It's not so. I don't think you necessarily get a like a flavor for, in a taste perspective, but I think there is an aroma, and it's just about how heavy that smoke flavor is. And I think certain woods just load up a protein with more smoke than some other lighter woods.
But I wonder what elm would be like. I don't, are there enough elm trees left with the Dutch elm disease?
Actually, I believe I have a Korean elm, if I'm not mistaken, that I had a big hunk fall off of it, and I used that as in the pit for a while. And
it was okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
How did it burn? How did it burn?
Actually, it burned pretty well. It was pretty good hardwood. I mean, you know, it's not like. Unfortunately now, you know, throughout the Catskills, we have you go to firewood dealers, and I'm just telling people, look, you know, please, not so much ash.
Ah,
because ash is, it's a wonderful for starting fires, but there's no real nuance to it, and it burns fairly quickly.
Huh. Richard, do you want to follow up?
No, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, black locust, I've never seen a black locust tree or anything like that.
This is actually the first I've ever heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what do you guys, you don't have to give names, but you source wood locally or do you chop your own wood?
In New York State, you have to. You're not allowed to transport wood across, you know, county lines or something like that. You have to keep your wood local.
But you have dealers, in other words.
Yeah, I have several dealers that I work with.
And Bill, how about you?
Yeah, same. I think almost every state has those rules. They're just trying to keep insects from migrating.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one of the harder things. You got to find someone who can give you reliable wood of the same size and quality day in and day out.
So let's talk about Asian barbecue. Do you guys ever do Korean barbecue?
Yeah, absolutely.
Explain to me. Now, my daughters are very into this idea. I don't know the first thing about it.
I mean, one of the great things about it is, you know, when you're able to actually cook the meat yourself. So it's barbecue really meaning grilling.
Yeah.
Not the barbecue that we've been talking about today. But, you know, you sit down at a table and you have a little coal fire right in the table.
Yeah.
And they bring like thinly sliced marinated vegetables and proteins that you get to grill right there.
Ah.
It's fun.
Yeah. And so tell me about the way the sauce works.
I think of Korean sauces as being sweet and savory at the same time, but they'll have a soy, almost always go in a soy direction.
Yeah.
Which is lovely. It's a really like umami flavor.
I'm a soy fan. Do you ever do any Asian barbecue, Russell?
No, other than a couple of Philippine cuisine, a couple of Philippine dishes, but not necessarily barbecue.
Well, now, Bill, at your event, your fall festival, October 12th, which is coming up in a week from Sunday,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you will have a Hawaiian sauce for the whole hog that you're doing.
Indeed.
How did you come upon this, and have you experimented with this, or is it a first time?
Yeah, we've experimented a bunch. We're still fine-tuning it, but I'm thinking of it as sort of like a post-war, like 1950s style Betty Crocker type of sauce.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like pineapple, a little bit of soy, probably some ginger in there. It's like sweet and savory, and then a grilled pineapple right on top.
What's your favorite sauce from all around the country?
I mean, we make at the restaurant, I think at last count, we have 25 different sauces.
Really?
For different dishes.
Wow.
We make sauces all the time.
Now, we know Russell does a lot of research by traveling. He calls it research so we can write it off on his taxes. Do you do similar research, or are you just going with time-based recipes, time-tested?
I really don't travel. I kind of hate to travel myself.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a homebody.
Good for you.
So I don't do a lot of traveling. I just like to give me a good cookbook, and I'll read it front to back like it's a regular book.
Yeah.
And so I have a huge library of that. And then once you start to learn more, you just start messing around in the kitchen and come up with something that you like.
How long does it take you to feel like you have something nailed? Are you using a lot of feedback from your customers, or are you tasting it yourself and just saying, okay, I think I'm there?
It's a lot of individual tasting. Like before you let anybody else taste it, I want to make sure I'm happy with it. And then we have a tight kitchen crew, so we'll start sharing ideas and going that way. And then we don't really ask for customer feedback in that kind of way, but you can tell by the numbers what's working and what's not.
Russell, I know you and your wife go all over the place in the wintertime, and you're heading to, what, Alabama this winter to check some?
Oh, I wish I could.
No?
No, actually, my wife is kind of, we're getting older, and I don't like driving and staying in those motels. And
wow.
So, okay, honey, so we fly, but we are going to be flying down to Dallas-Fort Worth, so I might be going back to my... Well, it was one of my first barbecues, which is Salt Lick's a little bit further south. I'd go to Angelo's in Fort Worth. It was an old school joint that when I first went there in probably around 71, 72, they still had sawdust on the floors and
They talk about, you guys were talking about Texas not really using sauce. There's a difference between grilling and barbecue, and I thought one of those differences was in barbecue, you're using rubs or sauce.
It's really about heat and time.
Yeah.
So grilling is going to be at a high temperature and a short cook, and barbecue is a low temperature and a long cook. So it's not really about the seasoning.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Okay, this email from Joseph about black locust. It's a very dense wood, strong packed fibers, burns very long, very hot. The wood is yellow in color, and if you aren't careful, you can overfire your stove with it. So it looks like Joseph has actually used that. There you go.
All right.
Number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Russell, anything new on the menu over at All American Barbecue since the last time you were here?
Well, I'd have to say no.
Really?
No.
You just stick with it.
Sticking with a traditional Texas brisket, ribs, pulled pork.
How long you cook your brisket?
Well, typically we'll start at about 6 p.m. I'll run it for a good 5 to 6 hours at full temperature, and then we'll bank it, before midnight, and then back up and running. So she'll smoke real slow.
But you have a staff. Couldn't you just skip the banking and say, all right, Junior, you're working overnight tonight, you're tending the fire?
You gotta pay somebody to do that.
Exactly. it's hard to find those. And so no, I'm not gonna put somebody on that duty. If I'm not gonna do it myself, I'm not gonna bring anybody on that.
You guys
banking
are both
the fire slowly smokes it as well. I mean, my temperatures drop down into the, 150s, 140s, 150s, and then it's just heavy smoke through the night. I end up with a really pretty heavy bark and a really pretty thick smoke ring as well, so I think that it actually might even add to the flavor. I might have a better brisket these days than I had when I was pulling all nighters.
Yeah, interesting.
But then again, it just could be the good sleep that I'm getting.
It's barbecue today on Food Friday. We have time for a couple of more calls. 800-348-2551. Christopher's in Glens Falls. Christopher.
Hi. I just want to mention that when I was around 22, I was living in Tallahassee, Florida. And I grew up here, up in the North Country, and I didn't know what barbecue was until I went down there. I got a job in a restaurant called Fat Man's Barbecue. It's gone now, I think. But they had a bi-level fireplace, a wood fireplace that was about 20 feet long. And we would smoke the different roasts and ribs. And I'll tell you, I've never seen ribs that big before. They're just not up here. And we would smoke them and slow cook them all day long. We made our own sauces, made our own baked beans, our own coleslaw. And on Wednesday, that was chicken night. So we had all these half chickens and bus pans all set to go that we cooked all morning and afternoon long. And the Florida State University and the Florida A&M football teams would come in. And I'll tell you, man, those guys could eat.
I bet they could.
Well, yep.
Thank you. Thank you for that one. Thanks for the call, Christopher. You've been at this game now for what, about 15 years,
yep.
Bill? And Russell, you've been doing this over 25 years. In that time, over a decade for both of you, up here in the Northeast, you don't say, oh, well, that's Northeastern barbecue. Has this region become more educated about barbecue?
I would say absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. I think, when we were in Brooklyn, we helped coin Brooklyn style barbecue because we were one of maybe four places that kind of opened up at the same time. Everyone kind of doing their own thing. And that the idea behind Brooklyn style barbecue was you're just being influenced by the 400 different ethnic flavors that are all around you everywhere.
Yeah.
And so all those places were kind of cooking in with those flavors in mind. But I feel like, you know, 30 years ago, you weren't probably finding too much traditional barbecue in the Northeast.
No,
not at all. Yeah. It seemed like it was quite unique. I mean, that's why I thought I was, you know, I was in front of the curve.
I think you
back
were.
Back in 2002, yeah. Now, hey, Bill, you know, you said you have a big library. I mean, do you have any books that you would recommend to somebody that wanted to get started with barbecue? Because, of course, I mean, I used a book, and I mean, I just, you know, God bless the internet, because I just looked it up on Google, Smoke and Spice by Jameson.
That was
the book that actually got me, you know, I mean, I wanted to make barbecue. I had never cooked barbecue before. I loved barbecue. And that was the book that I purchased that I used to get going back in 2002. Ah.
That's a classic, and that will teach you all the basics.
But anybody out there that wants to really start cooking barbecue, that's not a bad idea. You know, went to Barnes & Noble, picked up Smoke and Spice. Wonderful book.
I'll remember that. And Bill sent me a YouTube video. And, of course, YouTube and the internet in general, it's a double-edged sword. There's probably some great information. I trust the information that the link you sent me. There's some people who don't know what they're doing who make videos.
Have you been on my channel?
You got a channel?
Of course.
Tell me about the. We only have a minute here. Tell me about the channel.
Come on, it's the Meadows Golf Center and All American Barbecue. You know, we've got a couple of different series of videos out there making award-winning barbecue. Or, you know, it's been a few years since I made them, but you know, I'll show you how to peel ribs, whatever. Blah blah blah.
Oh, cool! I'll check that out.
And I also have the Own Your Own Golf Course series of videos as well to show you how to run a golf course.
I don't want to run a golf course, but I do want to make barbecue. All right, thank you for that. And your website is
MeadowsGolfCenter.com.
And Bill, you have a big event coming up over at Fletcher's. What's your website so people can find out more?
FletchersBBQShop.com.
All right, listen, you guys are fantastic. You brought great food, and it's the perfect send-off into the fun drive, which happens Monday at 6 a.m. By the way, Ben wrote in, a forester, says Black Locust burns wonderfully, but has a very pungent smell. Probably a bad idea.
There we go.
So that's your homework for the next show.
I would.
You got to cook with Black Locust and see how it is. We're done. But the fun drive starts on Monday at 6 a.m. The lockbox is open. You can make a pledge all weekend long. The sooner we fill that lockbox, the sooner the fun drive ends. We'll see you then. Support comes from Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, working to spread peace, love, and happiness with handcrafted and small batches infused sea salts, pepper, and blends. Specializing in black garlic, RollingRockSalt.com. Honest Weight Food Co-op, Albany, announcing their October membership drive. Co-op members can be part of a community that values whole food options, community outreach, and sustainable ways of living. HonestWeight.coop/join. And the Devlin Inn and Suites, Main Street, Lake Placid, welcoming families, athletes, and groups to the historic Olympic Village with Adirondack Mountain views and dog-friendly accommodations. The Devlin NY.com to learn more. Thanks again to Russell Mattson and Bill Fletcher for being here today. Thank you for listening. Oh, the food. There are going to be some people in the front office who are very excited in a moment. All right. Hopefully you can make a pledge. If not, tune in to the fun drive on Monday at 6 a.m. It can be a lot of fun. We'll see you then.